Father, I just thank you and I praise you for tonight. I thank you, Father God, for the rejoicing that's going up in the heavenly realm and it's dropping down upon your children. I thank you, Father God, that your children are learning to let go and let you be God and that they can rejoice no matter what's going on around about them. And Father, tonight as we go into the Word, that you're giving, I'm asking that the ears will be open to hear what thus saith the Lord, and the heart is ready to receive the word, the seed. And Father God, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the seed that the enemy can't steal that seed before it can take root. And devil, I'm going to tell you right now, you have no place in this church. You can leave right now in the name of Jesus. I don't care how you got here, but you can leave right now in the name of Jesus. We are not going to allow you to come in here and sit and enjoy yourself in the presence of Almighty God. And Father, I thank you and I praise you that we have all power and all authority and the enemy has none. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the praise and worship was going on, God said to me, he said, I want you to tell the people that it's time that they bury the hatchet. You know, if you have relationships and they're broken, it's time that you get those relationships back together again. It's time that we walk as true children of light, and it's time that we are an example for all others to see. All right? So if you have a hatchet, you need to bury it and get over it and make amends to those that you have been at odds with. I don't care what the reason is. We're children of God. We don't walk in that kind of junk, right? And we have to forgive. And I'm hearing God say, just not lightly forgive, but to forgive from the very depths of your soul. Get it over with. Because this thing that you're holding on to is going to keep you from entering into the fullness of Christ. All right? There's a lot of family relationships I'm hearing God say that he wants to restore right now. A lot of marriages he wants to restore back into wholeness. So let's let God have his total control, his total way in our lives. And let's just get this dumb junk over with. This is what's keeping us from having the glory drop. Is these type of things are going on in the body of Christ, and they should not be going on. Even to this day, pastors in this area are still divided. They will not come together in unity. But yet they think revival is going to start. You know, revival has to start in you. This is what God is trying to do. He's trying to get revival in us. It's not what you think some great big thing, that great big thing is going to happen, but you're not going to be part of it if you don't get revival in you. All right? God dealt with me really strong about that last night. He said that people are looking for me to do great signs, wonders, and miracles, and they call that revival. No, revival starts within the heart of the people. Then they carry it out into the world. So that's where we're at. I entitled this No Weapon because I didn't know what else to title it. So let's see what God has to say tonight. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. I like where it says, no weapon is fashioned against you shall succeed. The enemy can come at you, and he can toss you to and fro, but he can't destroy you. He can't succeed in taking your life. He can't succeed in taking your walk with God. He just can't do that. You have to give it away. The enemy cannot do that. You have to give it away. Now, this is what God said. The wearing of the mask, M-A-S-K-S, is a fool's game that is trying to destroy the hearts of my peoples. The mask is a silencer to those who walk in fear, but to those who walk in faith, it is just another weapon formed against them that will not prosper. God said, my desire for the nations is to have them come together in total unity and faith and destroy the silencer once and for all. My peoples know how to pray and they know how to war. Therefore, the battle is already won. The mask will disappear and true loyalty to their father will show forth. And then he goes on to say, mainstream media has falsified so many things in this dispensation of time, but I'm about ready to unmask them also. You will look and see masks no more. You will see instead faces lit up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The masks have made the remnant stronger and more determined than ever to fight the good fight of faith. Is that what it did to you? The masks have made the remnant stronger and more determined than ever to fight the good fight of faith. And I tell you a truth, I am backing all who will walk in true, unadulterated faith and defeat the enemy on every side. Much truth is being unveiled at this given time, and all the naysayers will bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will have to confess that Jesus is Lord of all. God went on to say, this is just another ploy of the enemy to defeat the church. But the true church cannot be defeated. The true church cannot be defeated. Each one of us make up the church, right? So can you be defeated? God's saying we can't. All right? They will stand tall and erect, and they shall fight like David fought the giants in his land. Now, David was able to declare in Psalm 18, verses 16 and 18, David said, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. See, but they were too strong for David, but they weren't too strong for God. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. You don't have any enemies. I'm here to tell you tonight, God will deliver you from all of your enemies. Then I said, you too can say, my God is greater than that which has come against me. This is what you should be proclaiming, but I don't hear that. I hear a lot of negative things. You too can say, my God is greater than that which has come against me. God is greater than anything that's going on in the world right now. The COVID, the lies, the mask, I don't care. He is greater than anything that's going on in the world. Amen. There are many giants to be fought at this given time. This is what God saying. There are many giants to be fought at this given time, but fight you must. And as you fight, you will become stronger and stronger, and the enemy will lose his foothold in your lives. God said, does not my word tell you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Then it will not prosper. There is not one lie in my word. I have made a way of escape for each and every one of you, and escape you will. But you will take the spoils of war with you, and you shall have more than enough to supply your own need, and the overflow will fill others' needs. And how many times has God told us before that we would have enough for ourselves and we would have an abundance of overflow? And 2 Chronicles 20 says, 20:25 says, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. And this is what God is going to, we're going to have so much that we're not going to be able to carry it all. We're just going to have to give it away. And this is really and truly what God is going to do for his people. But you don't follow God because he gives you things. You follow God because you're a child of God on assignment here from heaven, on assignment here, doing a works for the Father. And that you want to work for him. You want to live for him. You want to be all that he wants you to be. All right? God said, I has not seen nor ear heard what I have laid up for my true children who will fight. See, it's true children. There are some people sitting in the house of God are not true children. They just sit in the house of God. Now I found out since all the churches are closed and there's a lot of people won't even sit and watch the live streaming. They aren't sitting in houses of God. They're not doing nothing. They've turned their back on God. I has not seen nor ear heard what I have laid up for my true children who will fight without ceasing and who have determined in their hearts that no battle is so strong as to take them out of my loving arms. No battle is so strong that the enemy can take you out of God's arms. Now, do you really believe that tonight? Do you really believe that tonight? Brother Allen had a breakthrough, and not tonight, but one night I'm going to have him give you his testimony of his breakthrough. He got me as excited as he was whenever he called me. You know, that's what I can always tell when somebody has breakthroughs. They're really excited. And I can tell when somebody just called just to tell me a fake story. All right, God said there will always be martyrs, but they have their places in the heavenlies. Their crowns await them in heavenly places. God said, children, I want you to walk in a warrior status at all times, never once giving into the wiles of the evil one. Reread about my mighty warriors in my word and see how they fought the battles that would love to destroy them. Remember, your weapons are not carnal, but mighty to pulling down strongholds. Walk as a warrior at all times. Always walk ready to war. If you watch the country western in the old days, you know, these guys were the best shooters. You know, they were always, they never turned their back on anybody or anything. They was always ready to pull that gun. And this is the way we have to be. We always have to be ready to pull out that big gun, Jesus, and make the devil run. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Now, I wrote that because the next thing we're going to read, I had a hard time with it. I tried to delete it. God wouldn't let me delete it. And I read an article about from Spurgeon, and he explained about there's three different types of weeping. And so let's read what God said. For every tear you shed, a soul is saved. I couldn't find that in the scripture anywhere. All right. The enemy does not want you to know that he wants to make you believe you are weak when the tears flow. But the truth is that when you weep, you are bringing another soul into the heavenly places with me. Now let's stop there. Let's not read any further. When I read Spurgeon's article, he said there's three types of weeping. And one is whenever you're in sin and you weep, then your soul is saved. And this is what God's talking about here. All right, then let's read it again. For every tear you shed, a soul is saved. You save your own soul when you shed tears of repentance. All right? The enemy does not want you to know that. He wants to make you believe you're weak when the tears flow. So he's trying to get you not to cry. But the truth is that when you weep, you are bringing another soul, yourself, into the heavenly places with me. Now, let's go on and see what he said next. My sons, when you were growing up, you know, men, how many times were you told, men, do not cry? And this lie made you suppress your emotions until you became cold in heart. I am bringing my men of valor forth in this given time to destroy the worker of iniquity and to be the priest in their homes and communities. Now you see why God said the other paragraph. He's talking about you men. There's probably women like that too, but you men who have heart, you suppressed your feelings and emotions and your heart grew cold. And then when you found out you had to have a heart of love and then you went before the Father repenting and you started weeping, you know, you saved yourself. Isn't that awesome? All right, now, God said, you will see men bow, that's men, male. No, we're not talking about women. We're talking about men. You will see men bow and weep in deep repentance to the Father. You will see men weep over their families, and you will see them stay on their faces until they get the answers to their prayers. Now, Brother Allen did share with me he has a hard time not crying anymore. All he wants to do is weep. And when he told me that, I got excited because I already had this typed up. And I said, thank you, God. And I know there's other men like this in here, too, that you don't want to weep after all. One of the boys said to me, well, a man doesn't cry. I said, you know, a true man will cry. A real, true, alive, honest man of God will cry. Just like a woman. Amen. Matthew 2:16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked. Now, all right, so what we read there is that men will weep for their families. Now let's read Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. And then God said, it is time, men, rise up and come forth with purity of heart. Take up your crosses and follow me every day. Now, when God spoke this over here about men would be weeping for their families, and what God spoke to me was, he said, daughter, men have not been in the families the way they ought, and there's so many children out there lost and dying because they did not have a male figure to follow. And so, and he said, you're losing your children. You are losing the younger generation. Are you understanding this? All right, then we'll read that again. It is time, men, rise up and come forth with purity of heart. Take up your crosses and follow me every day. Just not every now and then, but every day follow God. And you men that aren't married, you men that don't have children and don't get married until your heart is for the children and you're ready to really be man it up and be a husband and a father to your children. There's too many children out there that are fatherless, on the streets with their mothers, doing drugs, being prostituted, young kids, by the mothers, just to get their drugs and to even stay alive. Men, you can say, as this is me speaking, men, you can say, as David said in Psalm 124, 7 and 8, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You have escaped the snare of the fowler. God has made a way for you to escape. God is your resource. It says here, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Men, you can't be a man if you're not following Christ. You just cannot. There's just no way you can be a true man and not follow God. Why do you see so many women in the church and no men? We got quite a few men in here, and I thank God for that. Because ever since I've been preaching, I told God, we need men in the house of God. We need true men in the house of God. And God's trying to call the men forth. Now, whether or not the men are going to listen and be drawn forth or not, I don't know. Only God knows that. Then God said, I am growing up my Josephs and my Daniels in this dispensation of time. So I just looked up to see what Joseph and Daniel were about. So in Genesis 39:2-6, it said, the Lord was with Joseph. So if you're going to be a Joseph, then you have to have God with you. You have to be following God with all of your heart. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. What did he do because God was with him? He prospered. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, didn't matter what Joseph did, there was nothing but success. Joseph found favor in his eyes, you know, in his master's eyes, and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned, because he saw he was a true man of God, and God was with him. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So let's just stop there. So if you're going to be a Joseph, then you're going to have to be following God with all of your heart, and you're going to have to be blessed going in and coming out. Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is always going to be falling upon your shoulders because you're a true, sold-out man of God. And verse 6 says, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. I couldn't figure out why they put that in there. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. You got to be well-built and handsome. He was 30 years old, so after 13 years of suffering, so he went through 13 years of suffering and struggle, God made him the most influential person in all known world at that time. Let's stop there now. How many times have I tried to get you men to comb your hair and brush your teeth and iron your clothes before you come into the house of God? And how many of you have done that? All right. I try to get little Isaiah to dress right, and he just puts on anything he wants. he dresses better around the house than he does when he comes to church. I said, you put me to shame. He does. Now, few Bible characters have the kind of status that Daniel does. Now we'll talk about Daniel. Now, you men, see if you are like Joseph and Daniel. Number one, he's a righteous and wise hero of the Old Testament whose decisions save the lives of many. So are you righteous and wise? Daniel is from David's royal family. Well, you're from God's. You're from David's royal family, too, so you meet that criteria. Daniel is good-looking. Here we go again with looks. Not just any royal kid gets to go to Babylon, only the handsome ones. Nebuchadnezzar's criteria for serving in his court includes physical appearance. So if you were going to serve in his court, you had to look good. Had to have your hair combed, teeth brushed. Every time you smiled, you got a twinkle on your tooth, right? Daniel is renowned for his wisdom and intelligence. Do you have wisdom and intelligence? You have to be a looker and a thinker. I'm watching all you guys. Do you meet this? All right, you have to be a looker and a thinker to make it in the palace. All the captives need to be able to pass a 3-year course in Babylonian language and literature, but Daniel and his friends are found to be 10 times wiser than all the experienced magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. You'll find this on Daniel chapter 1. Daniel's wisdom makes him a legend in his own time. How wise are you little guys? God told us to be seeking wisdom. Isn't that what he said? All right, women, you see what you got to look for in a man now, don't you? Probably won't be any weddings for 20 years. Daniel was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Daniel's specialty is a dream interpretation. He could interpret dreams, and this is how he got into this big thing here. Daniel's righteousness is legendary status. Are you righteous? The Bible gives us zero dirt on Daniel. He did nothing wrong. They couldn't. In fact, when his political opponents tried to get dirt on him, their only option was to make it illegal to obey God. It's the only thing he did wrong. He obeyed God. Daniel oversaw the pagan magicians of Babylon. Daniel is made the chief prefect of the wise men in Babylon after interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's first dream. Daniel is a government official under 4 kings. Daniel's Chaldean name is Belshazzar. Daniel's ministry spans the entire 70-year captivity. Could you last 70 years? You can't even last 1 week sometimes, let alone 70 years be righteous and holy. Amen. Daniel was probably in his 80s when he was thrown to the lions. There you go. Skip it is. Skip. There you go, Skip. See, even in your 80s, you'd be thrown to the lions and make it. Daniel introduces both Gabriel and Michael. Now, men, those are mighty big shoes to fill. Can you fill them? I really did all that just to get your attention, to show you exactly what some of those things God really does expect out of you men. And I don't see too many righteous men sitting in the house of God. Sometimes I see more righteous men on the outside than I do on the inside. And really, I found out early on that men come into the house of God to chase women because they're gullible. And, you know, the person told me, they said, I could find more women in the house of God to lay with than I could in the street. That's a shame, women, that's the impression that y'all give men. I'm not going to get in that category. Come on. God said, children, stop the squabbling among yourselves. Gird up your loins and go after the enemy instead of each other. Go forth with all the confidence of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and receive all that heaven has in store for you at this given time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice." Now, the whole body of Christ, do you meet this criteria? "And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ." The body of Christ does not meet that scripture. I'm not saying everybody. Now, if the shoe fits, put it off a dozen, just don't worry about it. But not everybody in the body of Christ meets that criteria. Do you? Do you? Think about that. God said, "Do not for 1 minute let down your guard. Stay focused on the heavenly realm and allow me to go to battle with you." And Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, "Don't let down your guard, lest even now today someone, man or woman, clan or tribe, gets sidetracked from God, our God, and gets involved with the no gods of the nations, lest some poisonous weed sprout and spread among you. A person who hears the words of the covenant oath but exempts himself, thinking, I'll live just the way I please, thank you, and ends up ruining life for everybody. This is what happens in the house of God. Men are not husbands, and they think they can go and do whatever they please, and a woman can just shut her mouth and endure it. That's not godly. And I would run away very quickly from any man that was doing that. Verse 20, God won't let him off the hook. You're the person that does that. God's anger and jealousy will erupt like a volcano against that person. The curses written in this book will bury him. God will delete his name from the records. And that was Deuteronomy 29:18 and 19. I guess it went to 20. That's from the Message Bible. You see, church, we are not lining up with the Word. We're just not. And, you know, I entitled this "No Weapon" because, you know, God keeps telling us, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." But we don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying everybody's, because I looked at you. I don't mean you. You know, we just don't believe that. I can tell that by the way you act and react. You know, every time the enemy comes by and bops you good when you receive it. Now, when are you going to stop receiving what the enemy's trying to do to you? When? And when are you going to say, well, you know, there's a Jezebel coming at me. Well, you know, the witches and the warlocks are after me. Hey, that's going to last until Jesus comes. Quit making excuses for what's going on in your life. The enemy tried to attack. I mean, I was attacked again. The enemy tried to attack me again, another illness. I said, nope, you're done attacking me. And you know what? He couldn't do it. Because I stood my ground. He knew that I meant business. He knew this morning I meant business because he made me mad last night. Come on. You have to let him know that you mean business. And the way you walk around, you're, oh, well, devil, now you can't come near me. He's going to beat you up before you get those, isn't he? Before you even get those words, that's Skip. He's going to put Skippy peanut butter on my desk so I know who he is. Then I'll say, who's Skippy? Let's go to Luke 21:34. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Oh, barber shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise. Spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. And that was Luke 21:34, the Message Bible. I'm hearing God say, we really need to be about our wits, just like I said here, at all times. You know, we just don't have time to slumber and sleep. You know, how many of you go to bed, you're so tired, you're just so glad your head hits that pillow, and here comes God. He wants to have a conversation. Right? Oh, God. Really, I'm really tired. Get up and go type. So we're on duty 24/7, right? And the way it was in the military, they didn't care if you went to sleep. If they called you to go to war, you went to war, right? Then God said, children, take all the weapons of warfare, not just a few. Do you know all the weapons of warfare? When you go to battle, are you fully dressed for battle? You're getting up at 3 o'clock and going, well, let me put my pants on you. You should have went to bed fully dressed for battle. God said, it is important that you understand the lateness and importance of the hour. Question, have you heard the wind? This is God speaking to you. Have you heard the wind of my presence? Have you witnessed my Holy Spirit in all his fullness? Both will be needed to carry the glory. Come on. Both will be needed. What is it, both? Have you heard the wind of my presence? Have you witnessed my Holy Spirit in all his fullness? Both will be needed to carry the glory. Yeah, the other night we went to bed and the boys were still playing their tablets. And I said, what's that noise? And they said, what noise? I said, is the wind blowing outside? And they said, we don't know. I said, well, go check. So they went, the wind's not blowing, Mom. I said, I hear the wind. Then it dawned on me. It was the wind of God coming over me. And then he started speaking to me. Amen. So just don't overlook anything. Start listening to what's going on around about you. Has revival begun? This is God speaking. Has revival begun in your heart? Have you allowed my presence to permeate your very being? These are the two key ingredients that are needed to flow in signs, wonders, and miracles. So what are they? His presence has to permeate your very being. And what it is, he's more important than anything in the world. And has revival begun in your heart is the second one. Are you allowing God to change you from inside out? Are you allowing God to restore to you all the years that the Palmer and cankerworm have stolen from you? Are you still sitting in that bitter circle, mauling over the things and the hurts and the pains that others have done to you? You won't ever go into revival with those type of things going on within you. God said, if I were to drop my glory right this very moment, how would you fare? If I were to drop my glory on you, would you be able to carry the weightiness of it? Then God says, be honest with yourselves. Do not be self-deceived. If you are ready, then stay steadfast in your faith until I decide to drop my glory and all of its fullness upon you. Quit growing weary while waiting. If I said it, it shall surely be. How many years has it been, Chris? 13 years is the first time God had me tell the church that he was going to drop his glory. His glory is coming all of its fullness. And when he told me that, though, he said, do not grow weary in telling him my glory is coming. He didn't tell me it was going to be a 13-year trip. So he might tell you something, but he might not tell you it's going to be a 10-year trip. You know? You just have to trust and believe what he said, and if he said it, he's going to do it. And Galatians 6:9 said, so we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Too many of you have given up your position in Christ. You've allowed the devil to come and lord it over you. And tonight, God wants that junk out of you. He does not want the enemy to lord it over you at all. He wants you totally and completely free so he can use you for his fullness in his glory to help set the captives free. Now, I hear God say, don't allow the enemy to get into your jurisdiction. Don't allow him to cross the line and come into your camp. Make him stay in his camp. Don't allow him to come into your camp. And he said, overthrow the enemy instead of letting the enemy overthrow you. Start trusting in the things that God has told you instead of allowing the enemy to tell you, God, did God really say it? Yes, God really did say it. What did he say to Jesus? if you are the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he's the Son of God, but there he was tempting Jesus. Do you think he's not going to come after you, little peewee thing? You know, Jesus was the Son of God, and he went and tempted him. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus kept saying to him, "One, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Now, what's your response supposed to be to the devil when he comes your way? "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. I am a child of the Most High God. You're nothing. You're under my feet. I'm the head. You're the tail." And Satan laughs like you wouldn't believe, because you don't believe that. You act like you're the tail and he's the head. Stop it. Stop allowing the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and then destroy. He's the biggest destroyer that we'll ever see. And he's on the rampage right now. If you don't believe that, just watch what's coming down the road. There's a whole lot coming down the road. And if you're not ready, not going to make it. And I'm not preaching gloom, doom, and despair. I'm teaching faith. You have to start walking in faith and quit trusting in your own self. Start trusting in God. And if you're like, we're all in the same boat, so we're all getting swamped with the same things, just one thing after another, boom, 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 boom. You can't even get on your feet right that there's something else wrong. But you have to keep your head. You have to stay afloat. And then whenever you do, then God will be there. And because he's still on his throne. He has not fallen off his throne. You've fallen off of yours. But he hasn't fallen off of his. He's going to stay right there. Now, how long have you been saved? I don't want you shouting out. Just think to yourself, how long have you been saved? Now, why would you give up all those years of being saved and walking with God for one stupid second? Right? So it doesn't matter what he throws your way. You're just going to have to be on alert. What did God say? We have to be warriors at all times. We have to be on the alert and be ready to fight him no matter what he brings our way. You need to. I'm hearing God say, you need to tell him, look, devil, you're messing with fire. And you're going to get burnt really good if you don't leave me alone. God's going to come and kick you good and proper. Come on. Tell him, you're wasting your time here. Go find somebody else to plague, because I'm not your play toy any longer. I've given up those toys. And I'm marching forward in boldness and in strength and in integrity, in righteousness, pureness, and holiness. I don't belong to you anymore, devil. I really don't. I really don't. And mean it. Come on. You know why so many of you keep going backwards? You don't really mean what you say, and the devil knows that, so he keeps coming after you. Come on. I want you to really let this sink into your head tonight. Let it go from your head to your heart. I want it to be ingrained within you when you leave here, because I'm not going to stand before the Father and he say, why didn't you tell those people? Why didn't you tell them where they were at and what they needed to do? I'm not guilty of that today, and I never will be guilty of that, because I'm supposed to keep you safe from the wolf, right? How many of you are wolf killers? Everybody say, I am. Thank you. The asteroid said they went. You are a wolf killer. Come on. See, you had to think about that. What's a wolf killer? You're not ready to go to battle. Astra went, she failed that one. You're not the only one, Astra. Everybody else didn't even do nothing. They just sat there and looked at me like, what did she just say? How many pop-up quizzes does God give you every day? And do you pass them? Be like little Isaiah, he hates to fail anything. Oh, he just gets ridiculous. He runs outside. I don't want to hear anything you have to say if you told me you did something wrong. And you just didn't do that quite right, baby. I don't want to hear you just You quit talking. And he'll leave and he'll come back and say, and don't start the conversation again, he'll say. That's what you need to say to the devil. I don't want to hear anything you have to say, and walk away from him. And when you come back, he starts again, say, don't start that conversation again, or I'll have to hit you. Amen? Come on. Fight the good fight of faith. Isn't that what it says? Fight the good fight of faith. Now, boy, some of you just jerked my jaw. You'll fight with your husband and your wife and your kids, but you won't fight the devil, right? You go and slam your fist into the wall, make a hole in the wall, so you don't punch your wife, but why don't you fight? Why don't you punch your devil in the nose instead? Because if she's acting up, then that's who's acting up as a devil to try to get your salvation. Amen? Come on. All right. No weapon. How many of you can really say through the very depth of your heart, I believe God when he said there's no weapon formed against me that will ever succeed? You know? Now, you don't have to speak out and get yourself all convicted. I just want you to think about that. You spoke out. That's fine. But there's others might say it and not believe it. So just think about it. When you're laying in your bed tonight, think about that. When you're laying in bed tonight, think about this whole teaching that God gave us. Am I a Joseph? Am I a Daniel? Or does he have to look someplace else? We'll see the men come in here. They'll have perfume on. They'll have their hair all dudeed up. Their clothes will be sparkling. You watch Aaron will go out and buy a new shirt again. And, you know, but really, you just really need to really listen to what God's saying. He's looking for Joseph. And what he's looking for is he's not even looking for a good-looking man. What he's looking for is somebody that's walking in holiness and righteousness. That's what both of these men did. And that's what I just put all the rest down just to have a little bit of fun. I mean, it's in there. That's what I found. So I just thought I'd do that for fun. But really, what he's looking for is, man, God is calling you tonight. Holiness and righteousness. Men, there isn't a woman in here that wouldn't just do everything and even lick your boots if you were like Joseph or Daniel. Right, women? No? Well, not Barbara. She's got to be the boss. Come on. Well, if God can have me wash my husband's feet when he was being bad, you can wash.
Tells me, but I'm not doing it voluntarily.
Y'all, all you men, stay away from Barbara. She would lord it over you. You would never be able to stand by her side. All right, we've had a lot of fun with this, but it's also very serious. And women, you've got to take your place too in the body of Christ in your households. You have to be the wife that God's called you for to be. You have to stand up and do your role as a wife. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God said that the men was going to be punished by having to go out and work by the sweat of their brow. And the woman's judgment was she was going to have pain in labor. It's in the Bible. So women, you need to take your rightful place. I'm not saying go out and get pregnant. You need to be in your household, and you need to be doing the household chores. You need to be doing things that God's calling you for to be for your husband, and your husband's supposed to be out supporting your wives, right? So are we going to have true men in the house of God? I'm going to get all kind of flack for what I just said. You know, in the Bible it says, women submit, wives submit to your husbands. When I first was born again and went into church, that's all I heard. And I said, God, what is this? See, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I said, what is this submissive thing? I said, I'm tired of hearing this. And God said, if my children were living like they should, that word would never leave anybody's lips because they would be so one and they would walk with me. So that helped me right there. You know, if you're saying, well, I'm not going to submit, well, then you're not full of the Spirit of God either. See what I'm saying? No, please don't take that. You don't have to worry about the shoe. We need to become true children of God, male and female, and we need to take our proper roles, and we need to do the things that the Bible tells us to do, and we need to walk together in unity, one mind and one accord. You can't make a good marriage if your mind's here and your mind's there, and you're constantly fighting. You can never make decisions. You can't. That's not a good marriage. It will never last. It'll fall. I'm just hearing God say, will you submit to my word then? And God's word is tonight, what he wants you to understand is no weapon that has been formed against us by the government or anybody else will ever succeed if it's not godly. All right? Now, God is saying, are you in control of your life or is God in control of your life? Aaron, he's just staring at me. Are you in control of your life, or are you letting God control your life? Are you doing the things? Are you seeking God's face at every turn to find out what God really wants you to do, or are you just walking through life and never praying, never asking God what to do? And you really need to get a divorce. I just heard God. You really need to do it. If you don't, you're going to live a life of pure misery. And your child will never serve God. I don't care what you do with that, but God just told me to tell you that. How many in here tonight, don't say anything, but in your heart you can say it. How many of you in here stayed married in a marriage that you should have gotten out of, and you wore yourself out over that, worrying about what the man was doing or wasn't doing, or the woman was doing or wasn't doing, and then after you got older and you got out of it, you said, boy, why did I ever do that? You wasted years, wasted so many years. You need to hear the voice of God. And see, God told me to leave, and I didn't. So any suffering I went through was my fault. Was not his, was not God's, because God told me, and I didn't do it because I thought I had to do certain things. But I grew up at 80. Now I finally grew up and realized what I was doing was wrong. The way I was thinking was wrong. And I disobeyed God's voice. All right. You two are you're supposed to be getting ready to get married. I hope you're not in sin while you're waiting, but you need to make a decision and do it quickly. God's going to pass you by if you don't. This faltering around and just doing what you want to do when you want to do it is not pleasing to God. We need to get it together. Totally together. Father God, I just thank you tonight and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. We understand, Father God, that the enemy is going to attack us, and you encouraged us tonight and told us that you were in the middle of the mix and that you were taking care of all things. And Father God, there's many in the house of God that believe your word and they believe you tonight, and they're going to continue to walk in faith, but there's still some that are faltering and they're halting between two opinions. And Father, I'm asking you to deal with those hearts tonight. You drop in their spirit, Father God, what you want them to do. Then it's up to them what they do, Father. But Father, we need to have clear-cut instructions. We need to know right up front what we are supposed to do or not supposed to do. So each person came out in this church tonight, Father God, you sent them. You knew exactly what they had to hear. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to drop your glory upon your people.